Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and as you might understand, this is one of my favorite times of the week. Not only is it a favorite time of the week, but I have a favorite guest with me.
And you consider me a guest these days, Carolyn? That's a very unusual term today. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. Good evening, Carolyn.
Good evening. Yes, you're a guest tonight. I've got the welcome carpet out for you.
Thank you.
And we have a very special guest tonight, a beautiful soul, one that we are just delighted will be here tonight, and that is Chief Joseph. Richard, for those who do not get our email and perhaps would like to join our email, can you tell them how to do it?
Yes, you just go to one of our websites, which is the 2012countdown.com, and you simply enter your name and your email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website and respond to the email that you will receive and click on that accept line that I'm sure you're all familiar with, and bingo, it's all done.
How easy is that? Well, Chief Joseph is a beautiful soul, and we are just delighted to bring him forth. And Richard, I'm sure you have been chatting with him. And for those of you who are not familiar how this works, put your attention into the third eye. And if you know what he looks like, think of that picture, and perhaps you will feel what Richard will describe when he describes his energy. Richard.
This individual has a beautiful energy. Essentially heart-centered. But there is this great nobility about this individual. There is a clarity, a beauty, really. It's this sense of clarity, of clear intention, of honesty. That word nobility keeps coming back to me. It's a word that's been distorted in our time when the term nobility is applied to modern royalty, which has very little to do with nobility. But this is true nobility, that nobility of spirit, nobility of soul, a powerful individual, but very clear integrity. And as I say, essentially heart-focused, beautiful, beautiful energy.
That's wonderful. He certainly was a friend to everyone. So, Richard, I suspect that he should have a message for us tonight.
Let's see. This is Chief Joseph, and I am honored to be able to come forth on this radio show once more. It seems a simple thing that Richard and I are doing here, and in essence, it is simple, and it is something that everybody is able to do if you are willing to trust yourself and practice and search out confirmations so that you trust what you are bringing forth, because anyone can do this, though I will say that there is a clarity about the way in which it is conducted here on this radio show. So I am honored to join you once more. And I do not wish to dwell upon my personal journey as it was in that time. The essence of it is recorded in your history, although of course it is expressed from the white man's perspective. But nevertheless, it carries the key elements of the events you might consider as they unfolded. But there is a layer behind this that was in place then and is in place now in your world that I wanted to touch upon, because it is not well understood, and I do feel it is something that needs to come forth in your world. And I know Richard has referred in the past to individuals who exist behind the scenes, you might say, that run events in the world. And he, in large measure, has focused on what he calls the Zionist bankers. But there is a, you might consider, broader group that encompasses these individuals that has taken on what you might consider the name of a committee of 300. And this group goes back several centuries. And indeed, they trace their historical roots back to the very dark forces that have influenced much of your world for a long time. But they have run events in your world for at least a matter of two centuries, and were certainly very active in my time, and really drove the immigration forces to what you might consider new lands, that in fact were not really new lands, because of course there were people there already. They were only new from a European perspective. But again, as you examine history, it is largely told from this white man's European perspective. And so America, both North and South, Australia, Africa, all these countries were considered new lands, Asia even, though to a lesser extent, because the core population in those countries was clearly, you might consider, advanced in a social setting, at least as adjudged by the Europeans. But nevertheless, they were still considered new lands. And there is an agenda behind all of this that has not been well understood, and it was in play in my time, and it impacted my life greatly, and I did not understand it. You see, as I began to refer to, these forces really drove these processes of pioneering, of moving to settle these new lands, to harvest their resources, to overtake the native populations, to demean them, and if possible, to destroy them. And if you examine the history of the world for the last few hundred years, it is really, above all else, this story. And we see it in, as I say, in both North and South America. We see it in Africa. We see it in Australia, in New Zealand. And indeed, to a growing extent, in Asia and, of course, India and so on. We see it in the Middle East, where the core group, this so-called Committee of 300, which includes the Zionist bankers, have essentially run the world from behind the scenes in great secrecy for, as I said, several hundred years, and drove this settlement process to essentially overtake the local peoples and to harvest the resources, to claim the mineral resources for themselves. And so you've seen the harvesting of gold and silver, and of course the other metals like iron ore, like oil, and so on. These have all been channeled in one way or another into the hands of this small group that has controlled the world. They were behind the British East India Company that was responsible for the growing of opium to addict the Chinese. They were behind all these things. They were behind the slavery. the bringing of slaves to America, and indeed they are behind the slavery that exists today. So I wanted to mention this because it was very much part of events as they unfolded in my time, and they are still the driving force in your world today. And it is important to recognize this, and I encourage you to do some homework on this because it is very, very deeply hidden. And you need to open this up and begin to examine it if you are to understand your world and how it works. And this is not inconsistent with the picture of the control of the central bankers of the world, because they form part of this group. It is simply broadening this picture a little. There are other interests, there are other families you might consider that are part of this, both Italian, other families within Europe, and of course Britain, as well as these bankers. They all form part of this small, small group of primarily men who run this powerful, powerful group. And so when you want to look for the heart of darkness in your world, this is the place to look. And I wanted to bring this forth. It is a key part of my message to you, because it is time that this got more widely exposed in your world. And it is a dangerous thing for anyone to do in a direct sense, because these individuals will readily kill anyone who is truly informed and begins to expose them. And this has happened in the past. I'm sure you will not be surprised to know this. So I wanted to express this to you and to encourage you to begin to look at this in more detail. It is what you might consider the heart of darkness in your world. And I mention this not because you should expect to overthrow them in this consciousness, because I too am of the view that their threads of power, their tentacles, are so complex, so interwoven, so complete that it is really not practical to pull this apart. And they do represent, you might consider, off-planet agendas, though those driving those agendas have in large measure been cleared. But nevertheless, the driving force for this has come from beyond your world. Indeed, all of you come from beyond your world, if the truth be known. You are all spiritual beings having a human experience. So I wanted to paint this picture and again remind you of the wondrous time in which you are in, a time which will see all of this transform. It will transform via the emergence of a new consciousness. And there have been others that have talked about this in more detail than I am going to do tonight, other than to say to you that this is all very much part of what is unfolding, that this group are of the view that they will succeed in their overtaking the world, though on a deeper level they have some awareness that there is an agenda that will see them fail. Some of them understand this. So be aware that you live in a time where this will all change. And as you watch your world, you can see the threads of this being tightened. For example, just this week we have seen the current United States president in Obama being given permission to negotiate the Trans-Pacific Partnership on behalf of the United States. And of course, this is not really on behalf of the United States, but it is on behalf of those who run your world and put all of the politicians in place. And so you see these steps forward, and there are others that we could list. And if you are examining these things and watching them, you will know them. Things like the introduction of compulsory vaccination, which is a horrific poisoning of humanity. So much damage being done to so many through the use of vaccination, supposedly for the improvement of health or the prevention of disease. But in truth, it's not about this at all. It's a facade. It's a noise. It's a distraction from the destruction that is being meted out through vaccination. But this is one of many, many threads in your world. As I say, I do not see a solution within this consciousness that this can be overtaken. All that will be achieved is a level of understanding, and that understanding is important to spread as far as possible, which is why I wanted to come forth and talk about this committee of 300, so that this understanding can grow within your world. And I also wanted to, having said this, reinforce the fact that they will be defeated in your time. In the very near future, the changes will begin to emerge that will see these powerful forces defeated for those who wish to move beyond their grip. So this is my message to you, my friends. Understand the power of these forces that control your world, that seek to diminish the human population dramatically. And as I mention population, I will mention that the key reason there are so many people present upon the planet in your time is because so many souls wished to come to be present in this special time on the planet to participate in these changes. More wanted to come than could be allowed to be here. And so it is like you might consider a funnel that is being passed through. And those who choose to participate in this transition, many will, in the not too distant future, after they have passed through this shift, will then move on from that consciousness, so that the new earth, as it has been described, will not carry the billions of humanity that currently are carried. So it is a special time, my friends, and I wanted to reinforce this with you. And so it is.
Thank you so much, the two of you. And I invite our listeners to call in with your questions. And until you do, I have a few questions myself of Chief Joseph. My dear one, the monad that sent you for a specific purpose. And I wanted you to tell us a little bit about your monad and, you might say, the specialty of your monad, what its purpose was, and why it sent you when it did.
My monad is known to some of you as Archangel Sandalphon, and that monad has sent forth fingers of consciousness in leadership roles over the history of the planet. And there are many that are known in history that have come from my monad, primarily, though not totally, to play roles of leadership in some form, to be examples, to provide direction in key times. And although I did not understand this in my life, I did have a sense of a mission, a sense of setting an example, a sense of, you might consider, displaying nobility in the face of such abuse of what you might consider honor or fair play on behalf of those white men and their women who came to this land and who negotiated in bad faith with the American Indian people, the native people of this country, who really were in possession of it, though not in the legal frameworks that the Europeans would impose. And this was the difference. So I was sent forth to firstly lead my people, but to be an example that would resonate across time as someone who stood in honesty and integrity despite the treatment that we were dealt by the whites. So I was sent to be that example, and I am satisfied that I was that example, and it's an example which has continued to resonate down through your history to now. And there have been others in different cultures that have provided similar marks, but this was my purpose, and I feel part of the reason that my example has resonated down through time is because of the power that I carried as an aspect coming forth from my particular monad.
Thank you so much for that beautiful answer. Was there a reason that the Indian was dealt so harshly? Was this to be an example to the rest of the world? What were we to learn from that? The events were horrific.
If you understand history a little more broadly, the American Indian people and their Canadian brothers were not singled out. The Australian Aboriginals have been treated in this manner. The African peoples of all types have been treated in this manner. So many in the Arab world have been treated in this manner. The current abuses of those countries where they are being bombed beyond recognition, their cultures are being destroyed. You see it in the Indian subcontinent, though less marked in those cases, but certainly across Africa with all of the peoples you see it. So it is really not a case of it being an example that was being made of the American Indian, but rather it is a reflection of what was being done to all indigenous, all native peoples across the planet and continues to be. It is not something that occurred then and stopped. It continues. The desire of those who run your planet is to completely eliminate the indigenous populations from the world, to bring forth an essentially European-based population for all of the world. Even the bringing of African peoples into European countries today is directed towards fomenting riots and fomenting the slaughter of these people in due course, and to demonize Islam. People in general, unless they are well informed and well educated, are very insular in their thinking, very racist in their outlook, and you see this everywhere. So you need to understand that this is the driving force behind these immigrations which are occurring so greatly in so many areas of the world. It is to foment this racism, to bring forth violence against the non-Europeans. That is the plan. So it's important to understand that the American Indian was not singled out, but was simply an example of many who occupied their lands in peace and in balance with nature.
Thank you so much for that heartfelt answer. Can you give us some thoughts as to what lessons we are to take from all of this?
Most people of the world, as it currently exists, will take very little by way of lessons from it. There will be those who will accept the opportunity to join this new consciousness, who will be in a position in the future to examine in more detail what unfolded and why it unfolded on many, many levels. The focus on the Committee of 300 is but a small piece of a much older puzzle, and humanity in general has no idea about why humanity is present upon this planet, how it came to be, why it is here in this time, why these events are all unfolding in this particular time where you are currently in this alignment with Galactic Center, which was marked by that ending of the Mayan calendar. It was not the end of the world as many believed, but in fact it was marking that moment in time. You might consider it the end of a cycle, but really marking a moment in time, and that is this alignment where there will be this transition. Many expected it to be on that day, and it is obvious that that was not so, but in fact, there have been core energies that have come to prepare. There were core events that occurred at the time of that particular solstice that contributed to the changes that are gradually unfolding. So there will be those in the future who will reflect upon all of this in a way not unlike the way you two reflect on much of it today from your perspective, but many more will have the opportunity to understand all of the details of this and from that position reflect upon it rather than great reflection in this consciousness. There is little space for many to reflect on the totality of this picture because it is so difficult to grasp. People get caught in a little piece of the puzzle rather than being able to take the broader picture, the broader understanding. So it will be something that will be examined and understood. And of course, all of this information is being stored in the Akashic records for those who wish to examine it in the future.
Thank you so much. What do you see in the near term for humanity? What can we expect to be faced with? There's so much turbulence, it seems. What's your opinion?
My opinion, in a sense, has not changed largely from last time I came. And many others have come forth on this show to speak about the impending changes. Some, in fact, most of us have been optimistic about the timing of this because it is a little more drawn out than has been anticipated. And there are issues of how time is seen in different dimensions that impact this. But nevertheless, there is no doubt that you live in a time where these changes will unfold. These changes will come forth in your experience where those of you, those of humanity that choose to join this new consciousness through the process of rejuvenation, through the process of recovering the form of the physical body that existed prior to the fall in Atlantis, as you call it, those who step through this will enjoy an extraordinary shift in their experience of what it means to be human. And there are others who will not take that step, and they will remain firmly in the grasp of these dark ones as all of this spirals downwards into a very dark place. And with time, as you understand it, those who make that step into the new consciousness will be given the opportunity to move on to a pristine form of the earth. And with time, this form which currently exists will, you might consider, dissolve.
Thank you. Can you give us a little information about the energies that will be coming forth from Galactic Center?
There are energies that have been sent from Galactic Center. There are energies that have been sent from Cosmic Center. There are energies that have come from many sources, some of them that were planned a long time ago, some of them relatively recently, that have been fine-tuned, you might consider, to ensure that all of this unfolds as it is intended. Indeed, some of the energies have been as recent as the recent solar flares timed around the June solstice that you have just passed through. So the array of energies being sent is very complex, and they are all directed towards bringing forth this shift that I spoke of and many have spoken of. And the energies from Galactic Center have been part of this spectrum of energies. It is difficult to single out their specific role. You might consider the Galactic Center as a gateway through which energies can be sent, just as your sun is a gateway through which energies are sent. And there are other gateways through which energies are sent. And indeed, as you may know, there has been a direct pathway from Cosmic Center to this area of the cosmos that has been sending energy. So it is a complex soup, you might consider, a blending of energies to bring forth the planned outcome.
Thank you. You mentioned the flares from the recent flares from the sun, and that was something that I wanted to discuss with you. Can you give us some insight as to what the purpose was behind that? I think you're basically saying is that those flares were sending energies and information to Earth. Is there anything else other than that?
There is nothing that I would add other than to say that those who monitor the sun to any degree will know that during this solar cycle, this sunspot peak that you have been in for the last, let us say, 3 years, that there has been no other sunspot that has sent forth so many solar flares that have impacted the Earth as these have done. It has been a quiet cycle, as those who have watched this would know, and so this has been quite an exceptional event and would have been noted by many, though not from the perspective of understanding its spiritual significance. And yes, the purpose of the energies coming forth from this solar flare, timed as it was to be in conjunction with the solstice, this was created to, you might consider, fine-tune the energetic context for the unfolding of the events required to bring forth this shift. That was their purpose. Now, have they completed the task? Many believe they have. But until events unfold, that cannot be said for certain. And if required, there will be other events that will be used to bring forth energies. It is my opinion that this will not be required, but one cannot be certain until the events unfold.
Thank you so much. And I invite our listeners to call in with their questions. We would be delighted to hear them. I sort of have forgotten the question. Next question. I was going. I was going to ask you, but I think we covered everything that I wanted to. Helen, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Question is, maybe it's not a question, but I want to ask is, how many monads were created beginning, keep continue sending out the fingers of consciousness?
You want to know how many monads were created?
Yes.
Is that your question? Richard, I don't know if you heard, did you hear this?
Yes, I heard the question.
Thank you.
There were many millions of monads that were created. Certainly in the case of the human experience, where you have billions of people on the planet, not all of those are coming forth from separate monads, but the majority of them are. So perhaps the number, it is difficult to be certain from my perspective, because it is not something that I have spent time examining, but certainly the number is very large. It is a complex soup, you might consider, of experience. And perhaps the number is in the order of several billion monads that were created. Of course, as you understand it, there is a great deal of life in the cosmos beyond what is happening upon planet Earth, and this needs to be understood.
Thank you so much for your question, Helen, and for your answer, Chief Joseph. Thank you.
Great.
I don't know if you know this answer, but something that was of interest to me, each round of Brahma has a particular thrust, a particular question that they wish to understand, a particular development in the cosmos. Do you know anything about what this thrust of Brahma was interested in?
The issue of the cycles of Brahma is a very big question, you might consider, and it is not something which I have spent time examining, and it is not an easy thing to examine from the context of a finger of consciousness journeying within this particular cycle of Brahma. But I do understand that above all else, this particular cycle of Brahma was about bringing forth the end of the reign of the dark, not only within this cosmos, but beyond. It was a plan that was put in place even before the creation of this cosmos, to use it for this moment in which you find yourselves, where this cycle is being brought to an end right throughout creation. So above all else, this cycle of Brahma is about this ending. And in many ways, everything else is relatively secondary to that primary focus.
That's very interesting. Thank you so much. Now, Sandy from Michigan has on line 3 has a question. Sandy, what can we help you with?
I know we're all anticipating this change of consciousness. Does Chief Joseph have any suggestions that we can do to help it along?
You want it now, right?
Absolutely. I've been waiting.
To those of you who are currently on the planet and have awareness of this emerging shift, the wait can seem endless because you live in this linear time experience where events unfold moment by moment by moment by moment. And the human experience is a very intense one. And also the cycle of an individual life is not that long in the scheme of things. So all of this leads to a certain intensity, a certain angst in relation to wanting to see events unfold as soon as possible when you understand that they are planned. And so the best advice I can give to you is to, as with anything that you wish to see come forth in your experience, to intend it, to meditate upon it, to visualize it in your mind's eye, to see it how you wish to see it, to call it forth into your experience now and to give thanks for it. You could be dismissive of such processes, but they are far more powerful than you might realize. And if you practice this, and I encourage all of those who are listening to this call now or in the future to practice this, because all of this brings energy, brings weight to this unfolding. So this is my strongest counsel to you.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Can you give us some sort of idea as to the kind of work that you are doing as you are in spirit?
My primary drive has been to understand the nature of creation, to understand a little more about the nature of life as it exists within creation on broader terms. Yes, I have an interest in the events that are unfolding on the planet, but it is not my primary focus. You might consider I have become more of a student of life, student of creation, to broaden my knowledge and understanding of how and why creation exists and how it unfolds and how it is expressed in so many different ways. That has become my primary interest.
Thank you so much. I'm intrigued with this idea of the background energy and creating from it. Can you comment on this in any way?
It is something which is not well understood within the human context. And it is perhaps important to understand the nature of this background energy. Firstly, its essence is love. That is the essential nature of the background energy. And the background energy is, in a sense, irrelevant or beyond the dimensional experience in which you find yourself. By that I mean it is not defined by time or space or your individual experience, but rather it permeates everything. And the power contained in that background energy field absolutely dwarfs anything that you might imagine to exist in an energetic or material sense. To give you an illustration, it has been estimated that the total known mass and energy in this cosmos roughly equates to the energy contained within the volume of a proton. In other words, the energy density of the background energy field is so great compared with what you know and experience. It is hard to imagine this. And so it's not like you have to gather energy to create anything. And creation as you know it is simply applying rules and practices to bring forth patterns, you might consider, of creation from that background energy field. And so once you understand this, then the notion of bringing such things forth from the background energy field is not so strange. You simply need to understand how to go about it. Now, there have been a number of individuals who have demonstrated in various ways tools and mechanisms to bring forth energy into your experience or material into your experience that is arising from this background energy from one way or another. And the example which is, I know, in the awareness of Carolyn and Richard, and is certainly in the awareness of a growing number of people around the world, is the work of Meron Keshe, where he has created reactors which will undertake this process and many other things besides. But really, it is an ability that exists for the appropriately activated physical being to create in this manner. Now, not all beings that can create from this background energy field have to carry a physical form, but there are some capabilities, there are some opportunities that exist for a being in a physical form that has this ability. And this is something that those of you who move forward with these changes will understand exquisitely. And there are beings today in your world that have mastered this capability and practice it, who can indeed manifest from the background energy field and return it back to that background energy as they choose. So it is simply, in a sense, a practice, a process, a skill that needs to be refined. And in a way, it is not so different from the process of channeling, in a way, because it is a skill that everybody has if they only understood how to activate it and trust it. And as events unfold, it will become far easier for humanity to do, and it will be a skill that everybody will practice in that new consciousness.
What a beautiful thought. Thank you. Helen from California, online too. Helen, we're at the end of our show, and we really don't have much time. We have to do this quickly. What is your question, dear?
Can Chief Joseph explain the nature between rejuvenation and the telomere, or just the nature of rejuvenation, how to heal quickly?
Richard, do you understand her question?
No, Helen, could you please repeat it so I can understand it?
The nature or the relationship between rejuvenation and the telomere, the recovering of the telomere.
I see.
Or just the nature of the rejuvenation.
The rejuvenation process is far more comprehensive than simply the matter of ending the decaying process of the telomere, though this will be repaired. As you perhaps understand, the human DNA in the past was far more comprehensive, you might say, than is currently the case. So rejuvenation involves the reactivation of this broader DNA capability. And so it is much more involved than just ending the decay of the telomere and its repair. For those of you who don't understand this, the telomere is, you might consider, a sequence, a DNA sequence on the end of the chromosome. And as cells divide, some of those cells of the telomere are not replaced. And so it's like the telomere wears out over time. And this is what causes aging. And it was an intentional process in this current consciousness to limit the lifetimes of an individual to, as you understand it, 80 to 100 years in general, because of the very intense experience that was unfolding in this time.
Helen, thank you for your question. And Chief Joseph, thank you for your incredibly complete and beautiful answers. And Richard, thank you for taking these, fielding these questions with the answers. I appreciate it a great deal, and I'm sure our audience does. We're at the end of the show. Richard, we've got a little bit of time here. What might you want to discuss?
I'm just sitting here basking in Chief Joseph's energies, I have to say.
Bask away. Well, so, perhaps there's something on our drawing board that you might want to discuss.
Well, again, I would encourage any of you who wish to, you might consider, investigate a little more of your history, your past life history, and your relationship, who and what your monad is, and so on, by utilizing some of the extraordinary skills that Carolyn has, either to in a key past life session or a soul reading where your soul will come forth with a message for you and answer some questions you might have. Also, an Akashic reading is another possibility where Carolyn is able to bring forth answers from the Akashic records in response to your questions. All of these are beautiful services that she provides, and the results of those are really quite extraordinary. People are very often blown away by what comes back. The beauty of the answers is, I guess, the best way to describe it. And they truly are extraordinary sessions. I find them humbling every time we conduct one of those sessions. Quite extraordinary. So I encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. They truly are unique. Carolyn has extraordinary skills that I am very confident saying are unique.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard, and so do you. I appreciate, and I want to thank again Chief Joseph and you, Richard, for bringing all this forth, and those at BBS that have taken care of us tonight. Thank you all. Until the next time.
Until the next time, my friends. Good night, Carolyn. Good night, everyone.
Yes. Good night for now.